true story. A man attends a youth ministry fair, and the man who's giving the keynote speaker stands up and says to them, "You invite only the best and the brightest to your youth group. You look for the athletes, the cheerleaders, the scholars, the most popular and best-looking kids, and you invite them to your youth group, and then your youth group will grow." What a bunch of hogwash. When I read that, was so offended by this, because God, the church, does not call only the best and the brightest, the prettiest and the handsomest. God calls everyone, no matter what you look like, no matter how smart you are, or whether or not you can do a backflip. God loves everyone. And that someone, a youth minister of all people, would stand up and say that to a room full of parents and youth leaders is appalling. Yes, we want the church to grow. And yes, we want more people to come. It's no fun to be in a church with one or two other people. Just go to England and sit in a cathedral. You'll know what I'm talking about. But God calls all people. And we want to be in a church where everyone is appreciated and loved, excuse me, loved for what gifts they bring, not gifts of good looks or wonderful talent. That's a dime a dozen. We want a church that is deep and is thoughtful and is thought-provoking. If a church is about an inch deep in what they believe, it's what happens with the grain being thrown on the ground. When the sun comes and dries up the seed and the grain falls and dies, that's who we are. If our faith is so narrow and so shallow that we only want beautiful people, then there is something wrong with the church. Fortunately, we're not like that. Lord knows, church appeals to when you're in high school, and I had a parent once say this to me, you know what it's like when your kid has too many teeth for their mouth, and they kind of smell, and the boys are loud, and the girls scream. That's the kind of church we want. We want the kind of church where everyone is welcome, no matter who they are, or what they look like, or what they think. So many of us, myself included, were real nerds in school. Bullied, pushed aside, made fun of. But we knew when we came into the church, we were understood and appreciated for who we were and what gifts we brought. Our son Andrew was horribly bullied in high school, so much so I don't even know what went on, because it was so terrible. He said, "Mom, I'm not even going to tell you. I probably would be taking out a lot of hit contracts if I knew who it was. But when I did know who it was, I went and stood up for him. Just as we stand up for the least and the lost, the forgotten, the poor, the marginalized. And to say that we only want beautiful people, smart people, talented people, is a lie. Of course we want them, but we want all people." And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples in this passage today from John. You are now my friends. Before I was your teacher and you were my pupil, but we are now friends. And what a better person to have as a friend than Jesus. I can't think of anyone I would rather have in my corner than him. I would venture to say we all feel that way. We don't sing the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," because we don't believe it. We believe it because it's true, and we believe it because Jesus never, ever abandons us. No matter how many times we don't do the things he would like us to do, or that society would like us to do, or our friends or neighbors, those are the times that we know who we follow. It's easy to follow Jesus, but it requires something of us. It requires that we set aside our own prejudices and dislikes, that we embrace all people who come through those doors, all people that we meet on the street, that there's not a person we walk by without saying hello to. Those are the people I want to associate with. I want to associate with people who think deeply, who love fiercely, and who dance with life. And if you don't want that, I would question, as a person of faith, just what I am looking for in a relationship with Jesus, in a relationship with the church, and a relationship with one another. It's not easy to think about all of these things. In fact, they take a lot of brain power, sometimes more brain power than we might be willing to give. But when we do, what we reap is unimaginable. What we reap is so deep and so meaningful that we come back for more, that we never stop yearning, that we, like the Ethiopian eunuch, are hungry for a deeper faith and a deeper walk with God. So grab a hand. Grab my hand. I'm always looking for somebody to hold on to. Just watch me walk up the aisle. And embrace and walk in to that journey of life along with a friend in faith. Amen.